Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 540. We're in Rabbi Hershkowitz's book, Bahavas Alev. And we talked about the six love languages in the last Shir. And now we're going to talk quickly at the end of the chapter, discusses accepting love properly and explains that if one of the couple, sometimes they want to give to the other, and they do everything they can to give to the other spouse, but the other one is unable to receive that love. And he explains this could happen if the one who's resistant never enjoyed a successful attachment as a child. For example, they may have been rejected or betrayed by their parents, or their parents' love were conditional upon them being a certain type of person, or their parents' love was so controlling that they felt stifled by it. Many reasons why childhood experiences with one's parent would find it later when they get married to trust the other person, their husband or wife, or to trust that person's emotional connection. And he brings from marriage therapist Harville Hendricks, who wrote some very good books that we'll try to review, Be'ez Hashem. And he posits that difficult encounters during stages of development in childhood will impede the ability to receive love. And that's what Rabbi Hershkowitz talks about clogging of those cables or barriers where one is even good at the giving part of it, but the other one is unable to receive in a healthy way. Goes through various six stages of development of attachment to one spouse. We're not going to go into the labeling the names and the idea behind it, but I'm just going to quote a few of those fears that take place during childhood that could hold back, once married, the healthy aspects of receiving, and they'll have difficulty receiving love from their spouse. Sometimes it's true that when one doesn't give, they're blocking the cable between the both of them because they're not giving the love they need. But on the flip side of it, love needs to be received. And when it's not received, it also blocks the cable. So that's a very important work, inner work, therapy work, whatever it needs to see what's holding you back from accepting the love from one's husband or one's wife in order for the cables to be open. So here are some of the fears. I'm sometimes afraid that my husband or wife will not want me or will reject me or will leave me, or I'm afraid of being abandoned if I request space for myself. So I'm afraid to ask for that space sometimes. I'm afraid of being smothered or being made fun of, or I'm afraid that when my husband or wife is unreliable, you know, they're sometimes there for me, they're sometimes not there for me, and I'm fearful of that. Or I'm afraid of being ashamed by my husband or wife for being who I am. That's an identity crisis. They feel their whole identity is being threatened by the fact, I don't feel that my husband or wife will accept me the way I am. Or I'm afraid of giving in to my husband or wife because then I'll become invisible. My needs will be disregarded if I decide to give to the needs of my spouse. Or I feel like a failure and I'll lose my husband or wife's respect. Or I'm afraid to show my husband or wife that I have needs because then I'll be seen as demanding, I'll be seen as needy or successful or powerful, and I may lose that acceptance I need from my husband or wife. Or I'm afraid they don't see me like an equal, or they don't like me, or they don't want to be with me. Or here's a real deep fear some people have, that if I show my husband or wife that I have needs and express them, they will not want to be with me. And then there's the intimacy stage, which holds back intimacy, both emotional intimacy and bedroom intimacy, is that I'm afraid that my husband or wife will want to control me and I'm not free to express myself without being criticized. I'm afraid I'll lose their approval because I'm different than them. So these are different various fears that could hold back in a marriage giving and receiving love, particularly receiving love. Then he has chapter 5, he talks about to learn to listen, how communication is vital. Many men are not good listeners, naturally. Many women are not either sometimes, although they're usually better. And being able to listen well is crucial for good communication and allows the flow of that positive feeling along that cable that connects the two of them. He He brings down a reminder to us, which we talked about many times, that we're not mind readers. It's not realistic, or it's not even emotionally healthy to think that if they really, truly loved me, I wouldn't have to ask what I need. They would just know. That's a false dialogue. There always needs to be an expression verbally of what one needs. He goes through a method called Imago Therapy, Couples Dialogue, by Harville Hendricks in the book Receiving Love. One day, Belina, I would like to review that book more in depth. He, Rabbi Hirschquist, recommends that method as a highly effective method for sharing things between each other in a marriage that concerns each other. It helps restore communication and gives a structured form to a dialogue. And the way it works is like this, is that it suggests that it's Imago, I-M-A-G-O therapy, Imago, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, that you open up a dialogue with your partner by sharing something you appreciate them. I admire the way you give my grandmother a call every Friday afternoon. You first establish open communication by praising, by saying something nice to your husband or wife, showing appreciation to establish a good feeling. And when you establish that good feeling, then you could broach the subject of what's bothering you. Because then he doesn't say this here, but it's being a recognition that I'm not trying to say what's bothering you to antagonize or to be hurtful, but to have open communication to make the relationship better. And the proof of this is I'm showing right away at the outset how I appreciate you so much. That's my sense of what's going on here and why it's recommended to do this. And you start that dialogue, you respond to your partner, you validate, you summarize the exchange. So you, the one who is saying it initially, he calls it the sender, I would like a dialogue about that, goes back and forth. I suggest the book be bought to go through the techniques and the detail of this back and forth. We're just going to touch upon it over here, but it's an important thing. Even when listening to this, you'll get some ideas. The one who starts the communication, praises, appreciates, and then expresses something. And then the one who's receiving, who hears this, mirrors back. Let me see if I understand what you said. Am I getting you? Did I get what you're saying? Or to summary that as a mirror, this is what you're saying. Is this correct? And you make these phrases that validate and show empathy. Validation phrases means that you just heard something from your husband or wife and now you're responding back. You make sense to me. I understand what you're saying. I can understand that given that you so and so and so forth. I can see how you would see it that way. Even if you may disagree, but I see how you see it that way. I understand your point of view. That's validation phrases. You're validating the one who just opened up the conversation. The other phrase is empathy phrases. I can imagine how you're feeling. You must feel a frustration about this or some insecurity about this. Is this correct? So their feelings are eared one to the other, and then they focus on a solution, an action request, positive solutions that they both figure out that are practical and measurable to heal the relationship. And to delineate them, even write them down. What are three things that we can do to make each other feel loved and safe? So it's effective, he believes, Rabbi Hirschquist, not just dealing with difficulties that arise in a relationship, but as a communication style to make the couple more open with one another, to reveal vulnerable emotions. In couples therapy, it's the idea of positive energy flowing between them. And he says, and this is very important, don't save this Imago therapy only for difficult times when you're having a crisis. Do this all the time, even daily. Open up dialogues. It doesn't have to be a crisis, just working out feelings or certain things. Even 10 minutes a day, you could share hopes and fears and excitement, even what you're anxious about, or joys or sorrows or pride, embarrassments, feelings of inadequacy or anger. Just talk about it, not to vent. The daily dialogues that you talk to one another in the normal stream of this Imago therapy is not to vent or anything like that, not to manipulate, and not to make demands, not to make the requests. It's a calm, empathetic exchange of feelings. I like the way he words this. It should be a calm, empathetic exchange of feelings. And you both grow in self-awareness, and he believes that these daily dialogues will bring new life into the marriage relationship. He goes through, and we're not, again, would like you to buy the book, so we're not going to go through them all. But he has different dialogues. He has a dialogue that expresses the imago therapy, how it plays out regarding hopes and fears. He has another one regarding a lack of emotional connection, and they're talking to one another about that. Another one about anger. So he has three. We're going to go through one quickly. One of the dialogues is a lack of emotional connection. So it's a receiver and a sender and a receiver. Sender is the one who's initially saying it, and receiver is the one who's mirroring back. The sender says, I'm feeling very disconnected from you. The receiver mirrors back. So what you're saying is that you're feeling very disconnected from me. Is that correct? The sender says, yes. The receiver says, is there more? The sender answers back, I must reach out to you, but you never reach out to me. And when you feel like talking real, it feels phony. The receiver answers back, so when I reach out to you, it does not feel real. Is that correct? I'm stopping here for a second. You see that the receiver here is not attacking, not becoming defensive, but is absorbing, is listening. It may hurt a little bit to hear this, that it feels phony. But the receiver is mirroring it, learning that gevura of not getting defensive or upset, and even if it hurts, but is responding back to the one who is saying it. When I reach out to you, it does not feel real. Is that correct? And the sender, the one who's originally saying it, says yes. And then the receiver says, is there more? I'm going to comment on this now. Is there more is a sign of courage, by the way. It's hard. You're asking for inviting more criticism on you to allow the opening up. And the sender says, yes, as a child, you shut down your emotions to survive, but now you're an adult, aren't you? And it's very difficult. I can't take much more of this. It's hard. You shut down as a child an emotion because of your father yelling at you or whatever it is. But we're married. You're an adult. We could have a normal, healthy relationship. He doesn't say this openly in the book. I'm just saying, like, verbalizing more what the person would say. And it's very difficult because you shut down. The receiver responds. So you think I'm a child and you went out of this marriage? That's what they may assume. But again, you allow this dialogue to continue without a breakdown of communication. And the sender says, no, I don't want out. I don't want out at all. But I do feel that you're a child living in an adult's body. And it does. You do not feel safe as an adult. And the receiver hears this and says, so what you're saying is that my communication skills are limited because I'm thinking and feeling like a wounded child. Is that correct? And the sender, the original one, says yes. The receiver says, is there more? And the sender finally says, no, there's no more. That's all. Now the receiver, the one who's accepting this constructive criticism, now validates. Could do different things. Now listen carefully. So the receiver realizes from the sender, either way, husband, wife, husband, that as a child they were shut down and it's difficult for them to have a healthy emotional connection with their spouse right now. And they recognize this. So the receiver does three things now to recognize their own problem that they have. The first one is validating. So the receiver, the one who accepted this constructive criticism, tells the sender, so I can understand now why you're getting so frustrated because you're married to a wounded child. And you want to be married to an adult and to have an adult relationship, right? So that's validating. Another thing the receiver does is empathy. I imagine you must feel lonely or scared or unloved. You see, this takes courage, by the way, for a receiver, because the one who is originally sending it saying, you know, you're shutting me down, you're like a wounded child. The receiver, it takes work, inner work, to accept that and say, you know, they are right. And here, there's not only your right validating, but there's empathy. I feel bad that I, because of my wounded childhood, is causing you pain. And then the receiver finally says, what can we do to make this better? And then the sender could say, let's seek our professional help. Let's go for therapy. Let's try this 10-minute dialogue every day. Let's call each other once a day. Call me to see how you're doing, and so on and so forth. And The other one may answer, the first one will not be easy, but I'll give it a try. The other one's also hard, but I can try. And the third thing is not a problem. So you see that this is an example. He has two other examples here that I could recommend you read. But this is the idea of listening, mirroring back and forth, Again, I don't know this. I haven't studied imagotherapy. This author, Rabbi Hirschquist, clearly did. And it's kedai to learn this skill and to get, you know, sometimes professional help on communication skills. It's very, very important. And again, this is what I said all along. It may seem controversial to many, but this type of imagotherapy, which is a lot common sense, but it's skill, needs to be learned in schools, in high schools, girls' high schools, boy high schools, and in Beis Medrash years, seminary years. This idea, this healthy communication styles, the validation of the validation, the empathy, the action, all this is benegeya, not just for Beinish Le'ishtoi, for Shalom Bayis, but overall for interpersonal Beidon L'chaveirei relationships. Bracha v'atzlacha.